It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. As our listeners know, each week we interview C-level guests and executives and celebrities and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Stay tuned for tonight's incredible edition of Mind Your Business, where you will gain incredible business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. First, we always want to open with some thank yous. Pesach Tropper, the show's producer, who handles so much of the interaction and that's involved in producing a show like this, thank you very much. Mira Bauman, the show's content creator. Srili Saflis, who handles the video production. Jose, Chris, Brian, and the entire team at 77 WABC, thank you to them. And the entire team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays such an important role in the development of this weekly radio show. Special thank you to our recent guests. Last week, Matt Sweetwood, social media guru. If you missed that one or any of the other shows, they're all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. That's WABCBizRadio.com. On there, if you scroll down, all you have to do is click on the face of the guest that you wish to hear, and there and their episode will come up on iTunes, and you could listen to it. It's all there, free of charge, all the past nearly 40 episodes at this point. I mean, this is really an incredible run that we have going here. Each guest had such deep perspective for the business-minded individual. If you're an entrepreneur, sole proprietor, owner of a small business, a large business, there's something for everyone. I mean, just to read off the guest list that we've had in the past, I mean, oh man, what about Matt Britton, the founder and president of MRY. We spoke about all types of social media with him many months ago. Jim Malcolm, the president of Rico North America. What about Steven Sadoff, the former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue? Can you imagine how much insight into retail was given by Steven Sadoff? You can go to his iTunes and hear the entire episode. It's all there by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Another thank you to our guest from 2 weeks ago, Paul Massey. Paul Massey of Cushman & Wakefield. That was 2 weeks ago. If you're in the real estate field, or I mean any field, you can gain something from Paul Massey. But certainly if you're in the real estate field, hearing from a leader at Cushman & Wakefield is certainly something that you don't want to miss. And again, if you missed it, you can go to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, now I get to tonight's guest. What a treat. In studio, in our special Brooklyn studio, we have Chuck Garcia. Chuck Garcia is a CEO, speaker, a professor, but I shouldn't say more importantly, but one of the reasons why the timing is just so incredible right now is that he just released, this past week, he just released his brand new book, A Climb to the Top, Leadership and Communication Tactics to Take Your Career to New Heights. Some additional background about a distinguished guest. Chuck has 25 years of leadership, coaching, and consulting experience teaching business people how to become more persuasive communicators. Chuck is the executive director of Mercy College's Center for Leadership. We're going to get more to that in a bit. He is also an avid climber, a mountain climber. He's climbed mountains all over the world. We're going to get to that. I'm probably going to lead off with that. I'm going to have to open with that, especially, I mean, his book, A Climb to the Top, the metaphor is right there. Therefore, we encourage our listeners to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you're guaranteed to walk away with real takeaways on becoming a more persuasive communicator, empowering your team to get out of their comfort zones, overcoming a fear of public speaking. With that intro, we give a warm welcome to Chuck Garcia. Chuck, how are you?
I'm very well, Yitzhak. Thank you for having me.
Oh, what a treat. I got to open up. We got to talk about this mountain climbing. Yeah. I mean, what got into you? What age were you? Mountain climbing.
Yeah, you know, and it came late in my life. You know, most people think, oh, you're a teenager, you're climbing mountains. In fact, it came at a year after 9/11. And wow. I grew up in a winter wonderland, so I was always skiing and skating. And I always liked and was intrigued by the thought of climbing a mountain, but never thought I could. On 9/11, I lost many friends. I was employed at Bloomberg at the time. I lost three of my colleagues at Bloomberg, lost nine other people, it was funerals and everything else.
And I'm sorry to interrupt.
No problem.
But we've schmoozed before. I mean, this is like such a painful moment, and I'm sorry to bring it up. As fate would have it, you were actually supposed to be in the building that morning, and then something happened.
I was scheduled to speak at an event called Waters. It's a financial industry event. I was scheduled to speak there that morning on a simple twist of fate. A colleague of mine had called me and said, "Hey, can you switch for the afternoon?" I said, "Sure." That phone call saved my life.
Unbelievable. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, it's okay. No, it's all right because— You know, we'd like to think in our lives that something good can come out of something bad. And it was a pivotal moment, I think, for many of us that survived it and who lost our friends and our loved ones. Long story short, exactly a year later, on the anniversary of 9/11 in 2002, I stood on the summit of Mount Rainier in the Cascade Mountains. So that thing was burning inside of me, and I said, you know, it's something, and this is my time. And I was 42 years old when I did it. But a year before, after 9/11, I learned to rock climb, I learned to ice climb, I learned the technical skills and committed that I'm going to pivot to this place in my life and I'm going to augment the things that I already do, but I'm going to explore something that was way out of my comfort zone that had been in my mind, but maybe that was the event that triggered me to say, all right, stop thinking about it, just go out and try one, take a step at a time. That led to Kilimanjaro, which was an amazing experience, which really gave birth to this
book. How high
is
that one?
It's 19,300 feet. Now, Yitzhak, that event, that was a year later. When I came down from Kilimanjaro, we had an amazing team. It was a phenomenal experience. It took 5.5 days to get to the summit. However, this is where it hit me. When we were coming down the mountain and we were just in this glorious, beautiful sunrise, we were walking down and I was so grateful as I was walking down. It's like, oh my God, what a great accomplishment. So here we are descending and I'm looking at this amazing team around me and we're taking one step at a time. And I realize, oh my God, look at what we've achieved. This is great. Here's where the metaphor came in and I said, wow, I think I'm onto something. It was very clear to me that this thing that we had just done on the mountain felt a lot like my career. And immediately in my mind, it crystallized the idea. What do we have here? Well, number one, we set a goal. In the case of the mountain, you actually see the goal. Number two, you take one step at a time. There was no shortcut to the top.
Right.
My old boss, Mike Bloomberg, he took a step at a time. He didn't become CEO or mayor. It took time. He built it a step at a time. And number three, you can't do it alone. Think about that statement. We collaborate our way up the mountain. We collaborate in our careers. Nobody goes to college majoring in collaboration, and it's too bad because we should. This is such an important part of the metaphor because as we build organizations, you know, in your firm, Yitzhak, you depend on a lot of people
right.
to do a
the
lot
whole
of
team.
Things.
It's a team.
Same thing on a mountain. What I was finding as we climbed up, we climbed down, people brought different strengths to the team. Some were very good at the peak. Some were very good at different things. And I said, oh my God, it's the same in all my years in a career. There were people you could count on to do. Somebody did the coding. Somebody else did selling. Somebody else had to pay people. This is what mountain climbing is. So that metaphor is very close to my heart, and it's very applicable to so many things, including writing a book. It was the same. Set a goal one word at a time. Can't do it alone. So think about that applicability to many of the things that we do.
Now, just to go back to the exotic discussion about mountain climbing. And of course, we're going to get to the business side of it. The listeners of Mind Your Business are looking for the business side of it. We have a lot of small business owners that are tuned in. And by the way, I want to give a special thank you. The great feedback that I get on a weekly basis There's nowhere that I go that I don't bump into people say, I hear the show on radio. I tune in here. I listen on the iTunes. And by the way, it's available around the world by going to WABCbizradio.com. And I say that because I still bump into people from time to time to say, well, I'm out of range of the power of WABC's signal. Well, first of all, that means it's pretty far out because the signal of 77 WABC is very powerful. On a Sunday night, I've heard that you could pick it up in Boston and as far south as Baltimore and as far west as Pittsburgh. It's a very powerful signal. But the internet signal is around the world. It's at WABCbizradio.com. But getting back to mountain climbing, what's the tallest mountain you've ever climbed?
Well, Kilimanjaro is the tallest. I've climbed, actually, it's the tallest that I've reached. It's not the tallest I've climbed. The tallest that I've climbed that we didn't make the summit was a mountain outside of Quito, Ecuador called Antisana. It is this in this remote location. There's no roads to get there. We were in these jeeps in order to get there. The mountain is about, I think it's 19,800. We were on the mountain for 9 days. We were what we thought was about 5 hours from the summit, and I fell through a crevasse. However, And it ended our climb because the conditions were getting too, it was too warm, actually, and the snow was getting too soft. And before I knew it, I took a step and wham, I'm now in a crevasse. However, this is part of the metaphor. I was on a rope team. I had someone in front of me and I was someone behind me. We were technically tethered. We had a harness. We were connected to each other with a rope that could actually hold an automobile. So the strength of the rope is tremendous. And we train for the inevitabilities,
right?
No different than in business. You're going to step into things that you didn't count on. What do you do? Well, you get trained. Pitchers in baseball get trained to pitch out of a jam. It's going to happen. In business, we think, based upon our plan, everything's going to happen a certain way until business gets in the way. And it's the same on the mountain. And when we fell through that crevasse as we were ascending, that was our turnaround signal. But I did what I was trained to do. You fell in a crevasse, the guy in front of me and the guy behind me are trained. There's a protocol, like in business, you communicate. I shouted, falling. Next thing I know, both guys in front of me and behind me pulled the rope. They dug into the mountain with their ice axe and crampons, pulled the rope tight, and had me. They got me. And I was a bit, you know, I was kind of strong, but I did what I was trained to do. Keep calm and communicate. Chuck, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Can you get out? Yes, I can. I had the tools in my hand and I had the tools on my feet that enabled me to grab on and climb out of that crevasse. Think about your business, Chuck. You can step into a crevasse. Sometimes you face these challenges. There's no point in panicking. You can't panic your way out of a crevasse. You can't panic your way out of a crisis if that's what you have in your business. You communicate your way. You do what you're trained to do based upon the protocols of how you were taught. It's a fundamental lesson I learned from Mike Bloomberg. He said in his book, Bloomberg on Bloomberg, do what you're trained to do. And so many people, for whatever reason, when things go bad, they start to panic. Instead of doing what they're trained to do, their brain takes over and they do something else. And what I love about mountain climbing, Yitzhak, which is why I'm so glad we're talking about this, it is so applicable. It's a little bit more abstract in our careers because we're not literally falling in crevasses. But when that financial crisis came in 08, people fell in their metaphorical crevasse, and many people had a hard time getting out of it. Others were calm, cool, and collected, and they communicated their way out of it, and they got another job. So that's why I love
this. Amazing. Another lesson that I just, the way you were describing it, that fall is, and in business, of course, this is also so true, how you have to be tough, tenacious, and yet flexible.
Yeah. It's something we call, there's two terms to it as a leadership communication consultant. I call it agility and adaptability. And what I find sometimes as I coach people in leadership communication, I find very smart people who are not particularly adaptable. And part of why I'm coaching them is they recognize in their own mind, like, oh, I'm just not that flexible. And when I speak, I'm so convicted. And I said, no, that's good. We want you to be convicted. But one of the things about being a good business person is, well, two things. One, you need to know how to ask for what you want. And second, it's important that you see things through someone else's point of view. And many people have a hard time doing it. They're so convicted to their own minds. And I understand that. That's what we like about certain people. But mountain climbing careers, there is a certain adaptability that causes you to react to things you otherwise didn't expect. If you're adaptable, you ultimately figure out a way to pivot and to turn that negative into a positive. Lack of being adaptable, unfortunately, people are falling in their career morass or crevasse, so to speak, because they weren't able to get out of their own way to communicate their way out of that situation.
The voice that you hear is that of Chuck Garcia. He has many accolades, but right now we're meeting with him because he just came out with his new, and actually it rose to bestseller. Well, first, I mean, the title of the book, A Climb to the Top: Communication and Leadership Tactics to Take Your Career to New Heights. And he's sharing with us his incredible experience, knowledge, and know-how. I mean, the listener should be paying Chuck for this, but he's kind enough to share his time. By the way, where can the listeners buy your book?
Yeah, my book, today it was released on Amazon. Yesterday it was released, still available today on Amazon.com. It's also available on BN.com and Books A Million.
Wow, amazing. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile-friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting WebsiteWithBrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
And we're back on 77 WABC. This is the Mind Your Business program with Yitzhak Saftless, heard every Sunday night from 11 to 12. Chuck Garcia is my guest tonight, and he just released a brand new book, A Climb to the Top: Communication and Leadership Tactics to Take Your Career to New Heights. And he was very, very kind to share with the audience a few copies. We're going to have a giveaway tonight. Anyone that sends a text to 66866 and puts in the word bottom line as one word, bottom line, will automatically be entered to win an inscribed copy from Chuck Garcia. Again, all you have to do is send a text to 66866, the word bottom line, and then you'll automatically be entered to win a copy. We're also going to have the giveaway on Twitter and some of the other social media followings. You could follow me by going on Twitter. My handle is YSaftless, YSaftLAS. On Facebook, it's my full name, Yitzchok Saftless, YITZCHOKSAFTLAS. Same thing on LinkedIn and on Instagram. And, of course, you could buy the book by going to Amazon, BarnesandNobles.com, BN.com, and I'm sure some other outlets out there. It's going to be available again at Climb to the Top. We're here with Chuck Garcia. Chuck, you talk about mountaineering, and of course, the first part of the segment, we talked about climbing mountains. And now let's address the metaphor to business. Now, of course, we touched on it, but now let's go head on.
Yeah.
You're a mountain climber. You've been involved with, you worked at Bloomberg. You have a lifetime of experience. Talk about that metaphor. Talk about mountain climbing and the relationship that a business owner could take away for running a day-to-day business.
Yeah, you bet. Well, let me just to recast in our own minds and for the listeners as well. This metaphor is very powerful, and we hit it right in the beginning of the book. And we talk about, think about anything that you want to accomplish. What are the three things that are necessary to do it? Easy. Set a goal, one step at a time. Can't do it alone. For many of us who embark on our careers, most of us, and I'm speaking in general to the kids in college who are 22 years old, getting out of college, and they are at the advent of their career. It begins with a mindset. What is it you want out of this? What do you want to be an investment banker, an accountant, or what, marketing guy, whatever that is? There's three things that we think about that apply to that metaphor: mindset, skill set, and performance. And you need them all. When you climb a mountain or you study for your CPA or whatever it is you do, where do you begin? Begin with the mindset. The mindset has to be connected to the technical competence required to do your job. Like in mountain climbing, there is a technical competence that is required to climb the mountain. If you're going to be an accountant, there is a technical mindset necessary to study and to pass the CPA. Okay, great. What now? Now you got to get skilled. These are the hard skills, the competence, the technical competence that is combined to mindset. Is that enough? No. Mindset plus skill set, the third variable is performance. You have to go in every day, just as we do on the mountain, and exceed somebody's expectations. Maybe it's our own expectations, which is a good thing. Certainly your bosses, your owner. Do more than is expected. Think about the mountain. If our goal is to climb 500 vertical feet, if we're in good shape and we can climb 600 vertical feet, we have exceeded that expectation, gave us a little bit of margin for the next one. Think about the accountant. He was asked to do a task. He had 8 hours to do it. He did it in six. Gave him 2 more hours to do something else. That's his or her margin. That's the metaphor at work. We bring that metaphor every day when we come to the office and every day when we step on that mountain.
Amazing. In the introduction to your book, you talk about how mountains are not climbed alone, neither are careers. And of course, we spoke about this before. But I just want to re-elaborate it and discuss it again, because someone who's very skilled kind of has the feeling on their own, I'll just get it done myself and I'll get it done better than anyone else. And of course, as you elaborated so well before, climbing that mountain, it's impossible to do it on your own. So therefore, let's give another view of that. If someone has the mindset that I'm going to get it done on my own, I'll do it right, everyone else get out of the way, what's going to happen to such a person?
Yeah, unfortunately, that is a recipe for call it failure, call it living or performing below expectations. But it's funny you say that, because when I wrote the introduction to the book, I actually wrote the introduction after I wrote the book, because I knew that book, at least I thought instinctively, and it's like you've written at least one book. That book takes you to a place. In the end, it takes you to a different place. Yes. You're not exactly sure where it goes.
It's always that way.
But when I originally thought about the introduction before I wrote chapter one, I actually scribbled something down. And by the time I finished chapter 10, I tore up the introduction. I said, I need to take it. And here's where I took it. Because I took it to a place where, okay, yeah, it's all well and good. Set a goal one step at a time, can't do it alone. I need to get something else, another layer in here that relates to success. And what I found, all I could do was apply it to my own situation and those that I observed around me, for the people that succeeded that I thought were the really good guys who you're really happy for their success. And here's what I said, and it's probably in the 2 minutes into the introduction. Something that I teach my students, my college students, and certainly in my private practice when I consult and coach for leadership communication, I talk about something called the law of reciprocity. And what the law states is that if you want to succeed, one of the surest, the best paths to be able to succeed is to help others and to do your job in the service of someone else's success. And the law states that if you do that, they will give back to you, and then they will give back to others. And we all end up, and what we've done is we've created and we've fostered a culture of giving. I'm not suggesting that we're in charities and we give everything away. What we're given is our time and our expertise to help others in their success. Because what happens when you help people? It's an action, and in its equal and opposite reaction, they help you. And if you create a culture of technical competence, mindset, skill set, and performance that is rooted on reciprocity, you create a culture of helping. And when you look at the world's truly great companies, and I was with many of them, Bloomberg and BlackRock being two of them, they were incredibly collaborative cultures. They understood that it's one thing to be in your own head and to get your work done. Yeah, I got to do it. But in this modern world, and I think social media has proved it, we are no longer in the environments of commanding control. Back in the 1950s and 60s, we watched war movies and we saw command control. We are in a different era. We are in an era that demands connectivity and collaboration. So all these C's are at work, but now it's a force. Command and control, going away. Collaborating, connecting. That is how Google, Facebook, Apple, that's how they change the world. Yeah, they had some pretty smart guys, but I've been in all those offices. The collaboration is magnificent. They work as teams. They have people that display the soft skills that unfortunately are not emphasized in high school or college, but are certainly and clearly taught at the executive level, because in order to really execute that law of reciprocity, we need empathy. We need to understand, and I'm not saying that we need to be soft, to the contrary, set the bar high, but recognize we're dealing with people that have feelings, that sometimes have a good day and a bad day. Okay, that's all well and good. Never an excuse to lower their performance expectation, but that's the metaphor, Yitzhak. Think about that. Set a goal, one step at a time, can't do it alone. Mindset, skill set, performance. Mm.
Now, this takes me to the next natural part of this discussion, and that would be corporate culture. Let's say now we're talking about an environment where people understand you have to work together. Corporate culture is a big word. We actually recently rolled out here, bottom line, a product called Team Ahead, because we had a big client of ours, L&R Distributors. They have over 1,000 employees, and we're rolling out an entire communication approach, and we call it Team Ahead. But let's discuss this. How important is corporate culture, and what are some tips that you would recommend to a company to really communicate properly with their team?
Well, as to the importance, I once saw a quote that I never forget. It said, "Culture eats strategy for breakfast." And I heard this is a very wise leadership guru once said, and he said, "I don't fear an army of lions led by a sheep. I fear an army of sheep led by a lion." And the reason being is the leadership, everything goes from the top down. And when the leaders exhibit a certain behavior, what do? They want to copy the boss. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. And generally, when you see someone who is successful, I think it's our natural ability to want to imitate some aspect of that. You've seen this guy. You've admired him. You like the way he speaks, the way he dresses. There's something in it. That's what I saw early, and it's part of what I describe in the book. I had seen these guys that I look up to. I'm not saying I wanted to imitate him because I wanted to be my genuine self. But when you begin to emulate the really positive behaviors, the culture is simply a sum of all of the behaviors of all of the employees. And unfortunately, when you see a bad corporate culture, you see people complaining. They're not productive. They're not helping each other. It's a recipe for disaster. So the reason it's important, no matter what that product is, if we can't collaborate our way to optimize the productivity necessary to do what it would, whether you make widgets, whether you're in accounting, you're your marketing firm, we want to be able to leverage the strengths of all of the individuals collectively, because all of us are better and smarter than any one of us. And I think if you look at the world's great organizations, that theme is present in all of them.
We're speaking here with Chuck Garcia. So gracious of him to be my guest here this evening on Mind Your Business 77 WABC. His new book, A Climb to the Top, was just released a few days ago. The subtitle is Communication and Leadership Tactics to Take Your Career to New Heights. He was very gracious. We have a few copies. One of them is going to be given away tonight to a lucky winner. All you have to do is send a text to 66866 and put in the word bottom line as one word, bottom line, and you automatically enter to win it. We're also going to have a giveaway on Twitter. You could follow me by going to YSAFTLAS, YSAFTLAS. That's my Twitter handle. Wow, we still have so much to cover, and thank God we still have time. So we're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile-friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
And we're back here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. My guest this evening is Chuck Garcia. His new book is called A Climb to the Top, Communication and Leadership Tactics to Take Your Career to New Heights. And again, he was so gracious. I have a few copies here for some lucky winners. One of them will win it by sending a text to 66866 and the word bottom line. That's one word, bottom line. Send a text to 66866 and you're automatically entered to win an autographed copy of A Climb to the Top. Well, let's jump into a subject that I've been waiting to discuss it with the right guest. I did discuss it in the past. We touched on it with Julia Waller. I interviewed Julia Waller. She is she wrote the book Unique Ability 2.0. It was really a fantastic interview. The listeners could hear the entire interview by going to WABCBizRadio.com. WABCBizRadio.com. Scroll down and you'll see once you click on her picture along with her title below it, and you'll automatically be taken to the iTunes store that has it there. It's for free. All the podcasts, previous shows are available for free. Anyone with an iPhone, you get it instantly. And there are plans to actually have it through other platforms. We'll announce that when it's available. But Chuck, here is the question. The big it's gotten a lot of popularity over the last year or two through Travis Bradbury, and that is emotional intelligence. You've worked with some of the great leaders, business leaders in the world. Is it brains? Is it emotion? Let's talk about emotional intelligence.
You bet.
Well, but
before we even get into before we attach the word intelligence to emotion,
okay,
let's just start with what are we as human beings? Well, a lot of people, particularly as children, we grow up and they're teaching us to think, and you want it to be a critical thinker, and that's all very good. But when you think about the big decisions in our lives, are they driven by the heart or are they driven by the mind? And I say that because there's an ancient Chinese proverb that says that the longest journey any of us will ever take is the 18 inches that separates our hearts from our mind.
Wow.
What that proverb is saying, though, in a practical sense, is anytime that we are at a decision point, our minds are in a tug of war. Buy it, don't buy it. Well, think about the big decisions we've made in our lives, popping the question, having children. These are emotionally driven things. The big things in our lives prove to us that as humans, we feel first, we think second. Anytime that we react to a situation, generally we react emotionally first. It's why we argue and bicker, because these are emotional connections that as humans, it's pointless to try to fight it too much, because that's just the biology. However, we need to be able to think, to be able to communicate clearly and with purpose and intent. The key is putting them together. So what we're doing, we're raising a generation of very smart people. People are obsessed. I got to get an A. I need an 800 on my SAT. Yeah. That's all great. But there's plenty of that. That's IQ. And there are many theorists who say your IQ is your IQ. Whatever it is, That's what it's going to be for life. You can be smarter at something, but you have to work harder to compensate for something that you may not be as good at. Okay. Well, what's the other form? What's the other piece of it? Well, there's an old adage that success equals IQ plus EQ. That if you're lacking in one or the other, you're inhibiting your ability to succeed as much as you think you can. So in my leadership communication training over the last several years, I have found when I'm coaching someone for presentation skills, say it's an executive, he's got a big presentation, and it's just not going well. He's a smart guy. He was at Harvard. He got great SATs, great GPA. But what I found is I need to be able to find a way in to unlock the potential. Where is the potential that I can find to unlock it? I don't know how to unlock that IQ, because the guy's really smart. So what's the other piece? Well, that's the EQ. And EQ has a whole lot of components into it. But when you think about the people in our lives who are just emotionally connected to us, what do they display? Empathy. They're good at collaborating. They understand others' points of view. Never a pushover. They're tough. They're convicted, but they recognize and they feel the something in someone else when they're either arguing a position. And again, it's back to that feeling, and it's the people that are able to feel the connections. When we get emotionally connected to something, we are so much more invested in it than if we're just invested from the mind. So what I wanted to do when I wrote the book, it was pretty clear to me after giving people an assessment in EQ, I found that what I wanted to do for my book is I created an assessment for public speaking. And if you go to aclimbtothetop.com, mm-hmm. It's not just a site that describes my book. It's a whole bunch of questions to the reader. You don't even have to read the book. The assessment is available. And it helps you to get in touch with your inner self about how you feel about public speaking. It then sends me an email. So you're in a dialogue with the author. I read it. And I come back to you, and I tell you, and I point out tips and tactics from the book.
Well, and I'm sorry to interrupt, because this is such a gift. It's so kind of you. What's the website again?
It's aclimbtothetop.com. And on there,
sorry to interrupt.
It's okay. But the reason I did that is what I found is there are many EQ authors who wrote books on EQ. But it's not the book that is the power. They have created these assessments. Free. You read the book, you take the assessment. A lot of questions to help each individual to tap into their inner self. How then, if success is the ultimate goal and you've got a good IQ, what is the variable that we can improve? Well, they have shown that we can improve our ability to be more emotionally intelligent, but we first have to figure out where are we on the field with it. So what I love about these assessments, one, it makes somebody feel like someone's actually paying attention. Wow, good question. Yeah, that relates to me. And then when you hit a button after the assessment, it spins its model and sends you back a PDF, and you're looking at yourself. You've got a mirror into your soul. How cool is that? As a coach, what I found particularly valuable when I read that report, oh my God, for me, that's a mirror into my clients, into my student soul. And I begin to see, wow, what's making this guy tick? What is in the way? Sometimes I discover, and I'm reading something, and many people, I once coached a female, and she was really talented, and yet she was holding back, and I couldn't figure out why. And yet through the assessment, I figured out she lacked emotional intelligence, or at least it could have been better. She lived in the shadow of her gorgeous sister. She lived in the shadow of her brilliant brother, and she was the little one. And all her life, she was a little sister, and the other one's prettier, the other one's smarter. And what I found is when I told her, you know, you're pretty good at this. I am? Yeah, you're really? Oh, no one ever told me that, because there's always them. And once I figured out, and it was revealed in the test, that she was living in somebody else's shadow, bam, I'm going to get them out of the picture, just to her brother and sister. Right. We're going to focus on you. And what we found, we were able to. She identified with the assessment that I was giving. Anyway, that's a long story short of saying, what I have found in my consulting practice mm-hmm. is the more superior communicators tend to have higher levels of emotionally intelligent. Why is that? Because when they're speaking to others, they do it in such a compelling way that they are connecting on an emotional level. Now, I say that because my many years of Wall Street is a very analytical kind of environment. It's numbers driven. It's very empirical. And unfortunately, let me back up. The really great communicators can take all of that empirical evidence and communicate it to you in such a way that you now feel emotionally connected. That is amazing talent.
Yeah, I was going to say, that. I shouldn't say impossible because there are people that have done it, but it's near impossible.
Well, and also it gives rise, and I'll give Mike Bloomberg a plug, smartest guy I've ever known. What was so great about Mike is he was able to take very complex things and communicate them in such a way that it connected with everyone. People understood it. Wow, he simplified it in a way that each individual receiver of the information can relate to it in their own way. Doesn't go over their head. That is emotional intelligence, recognizing how to find a way in with something that just seems arcane or abstract. That's emotional intelligence. And what I love and what I offered, if for people that bought my book in the first day or the first 2 days in this Amazon window, I attached a paper that I passionately worked on, which is called Emotional Intelligence, Communication, and You. And what I talk about, and I have a bit of a case study about someone who used EQ to climb to the top. He wasn't always the smartest guy in the room, didn't have to be, but he learned over the years how to become emotionally intelligent and connect with people, became a great leader. In this paper, ultimately what I drive, and I insert as I do in the book, is always a call to action. What are you going to leave the listener with? What do you want them to think, feel, or do after communication has taken place? You want to drive them to something. So in this paper that I wrote that has two calls to action. One, it leads them to take an assessment from one of the leading theorists of emotional intelligence named Reuven Baran. Mm-hmm. And I took his test. It takes about an hour to get through it, but it packs a wallop when you look at yourself through his lens, through his assessment. And then second, aclimbtothetop.com, that's the assessment for your communication skills. I want every one of my readers, my clients, my students, I would like each of them so that I can help with them. I see the assessment from the two dimensions. I see how they relate to their emotional intelligence. How do they feel about their communication skills? Ultimately, what I think I have here, Yitzhak, is book number two.
Yeah.
It is finding how do we best integrate EQ and communication skills.
Oh, wow. And I mean, right now we're on the air, so I can't do it now, but I will be taking that test. So
you got two tests to take.
I got two tests to take, yeah.
Right.
Oh, man.
Remember,
aclimbtothetop.com. That's right.
And then you've taken Travis Bradbury. He wrote Emotional Intelligence 2.0. I've given that to my students. There's probably three or four experts in emotional intelligence. They're all out there. It's a hot topic, but I'm really glad they are because I think this social science that they research, it's taken very seriously. Think about what I talked about, command and control.
Right.
In that environment in the 40s, 50s, emotional intelligence had no place.
No, it's not. Even I remember this goes back 17, 18 years ago, Time magazine had a cover story.
1995. In fact, it's in that paper that I wrote, right on the cover.
And I remember that in my mind, because I'm kind of more of an emotional, intelligent type of person. That's just my style.
Yeah.
And I remember connecting with that cover.
Yeah.
And then, I shouldn't say it fell off the radar screen, but it's certainly not as...
Actually, I brought it with me here today.
Really?
Yeah, because in the paper, it's funny you say that. I start the paper with a gentleman named Ed. It was 1995. It was like any other day. He had a coffee in his hand. It was 8 o'clock in the morning in the skyscraper. He walks up to the newsstand, grabs his coffee, grabs his Wall Street Journal, and something in the corner of his eye catches him. What is it? It's the cover of Time magazine that said, "What is your EQ?"
Amazing.
He says to himself.
Talking about me.
Right, exactly. Well, he said, I think we're talking about all of us. And he says to himself, EQ, what's EQ? I don't know what EQ is.
Right.
And it explained EQ. That was the birth of bringing EQ to the masses. And I put that right in the paper because I remember when I read it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, what is this stuff? Why didn't we learn this in college? I had so, and I was a pretty studious guy.
Right. But now, again, with Mercy College, you are the...
I'm the director of the Honors Program. I'm the director of a Center for Leadership.
So you have a leadership position at Mercy College.
I do. And I take my students mountain climbing in the freshman class. Wow. In the second week, this is my fourth year now, I take them up to Mount Marcy, which is New York State's highest peak in the Adirondacks. And I do that to bring the metaphor to life. I don't just teach it. I don't just have them read it. I take them for the weekend. We bring it on the mountain. And my students in the very first month of their college experience have reached a peak that they otherwise never did. And many of them said, I can't do that. It's beyond my comfort zone. That's exactly my point. It's out of the comfort zone. You didn't know you could achieve it until you achieve it.
We're speaking with Chuck Garcia, the author of the just released, it actually reached bestseller status quite quickly. By now it's a bestseller, A Climb to the Top. One lucky listener is going to win a free copy. Everyone else has to go buy it. It's worth it. You can go to, again, the name of the book is A Climb to the Top, Communication and Leadership Tactics to Take Your Career to New Heights. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, BN.com, and select bookstores around the nation. But again, someone could win it by texting 66866, the word bottom line as one word, bottom line, and text it to 66866, and one lucky winner is going to win it. Well, in the few minutes remaining, we are going to still address some I shouldn't say heavy subjects, but important business subjects. So don't go away. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short commercial break.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. Team Ahead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. Team Ahead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. Team Ahead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how Team Ahead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. This is the Mind Your Business show with Yitzhak Saftlis, heard every Sunday night at 11 o'clock. Of course, following the show, you could hear the incredible John Batchelor show up on 77 WABC. But still, for the remaining few minutes, we have with us in studio Chuck Garcia. He has a lot of accolades, but the reason why we got him on the show, and we get great guests. Oh man, again, if you missed any of the previous shows, they're all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. That's WABCBizRadio.com. His new book, A Climb to the Top, Communication and Leadership Tactics to Take Your Career to New Heights. What an incredible book. It's available at BN.com, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and at select bookstores nationwide. We want to get in the remaining few minutes. I want to get to the 10 commandments of great communicators. But first, if I may, do you also coach salespeople? Maybe you can give some tips because there are a lot of salespeople in the audience. Maybe you can give some tips on sales.
You bet. Well, first, I'm a career salesman. You know, my 25 years was I started as a salesman and I became a sales manager and I became a regional manager, all that. So I understand it. I have sold all my life. For those of you, any of the listeners, we live in a world where unfortunately a lot of people think that selling is just telling, in that you just keep talking and you keep presenting, when in fact it's to the contrary. The best salespeople I find, one, are the best listeners. They speak only with purpose, not to hear their own voice, and they listen with intent. It's the two keys of communication. When we are presenting, we are too infatuated with features and functions and just what they call show up and throw up. Oh, I'll do the demo. Well, we don't do demos. We make sales calls. And when you make a sales call, you're looking for pain. Think of yourself as the doctor. Your lines of inquiry are meant to figure out how am I going to solve their problem? How am I going to save them time? How am I going to make them money? You cannot present your way to that success because this isn't about presenting. And I think people get infatuated and caught up with the fact, oh, wow, he's a really good presenter, must be a great salesman. Well, he may or she may be, but that's not the key. And that's what I talk about a lot in the book is I talk about as salesmen, the ones that establish rapport, trust, and then credibility, which is the most important feature of a salesman. It is difficult to establish credibility simply by a PowerPoint presentation because it's really slick. People are sick and tired of it. They call it death by PowerPoint. We need to stop doing that. Some of the best meetings I've had in my sales career is when we went unplugged. We just talked like professionals. It was a normal dialogue that was at the dinner table. There were no interferences. There was nothing demonstrable. I'm not saying you don't need them all the time, but I think it's important that you understand that your mindset is one of being the exceptional communicator, not the exceptional demonstrator.
Great point. And if I may, in the remaining 2-3 minutes, let's try to touch on either if you want to talk about the top ones or of the Ten Commandments. And again, this is listed in the book, A Climb to the Top, which is available on Amazon, BN.com, and a select bookstores. And again, one lucky winner is going to win it by sending a text to 66866, the word bottom line. But let's get to that. The Ten Commandments of Great Communicators.
You bet. Well, I wanted the framework to be simple, to be something that everyone can understand. And fortunately, everybody, in spite of your religion, no religion, we get it. 10 things. And each chapter is devoted to a commandment, which is a concept of communication. And there is a case study, which is a featured C-level guest who uses that particular attribute and they communicate. So I'll give you a best example. Chapter 1 is called the primacy recency effect, which means people remember the first thing you tell them and the last thing you tell them. So the first thing,
true.
What are you going to open with? Well, people remember the opening of a song. They remember nothing else. So what is it you're going to say in the first 15 seconds? The recency effect, people remember the last thing you say. What are you leaving them with? Everything else in the middle, they may completely forget, but they're never going to forget how you make them feel, and they're never going to forget the call to action. So I feature in Chapter 1 a gentleman named Lou Eccleston. He is the CEO of Canada's Financial Exchanges and was my boss at Bloomberg for 12 years. He talks about how he uses in order to move people closer to his corporate cause. He talks about, and we cite examples in the book, the first thing, what he wants to open with, and then what he wants to leave them with, the importance of the call to action. And we did that because many times we've been in meetings where people just, they spoke and they spoke and they spoke. Well, I don't know what the message was, and I don't know what you want me to do. So we have to ask ourselves, what is different after communication has taken place? So that chapter is devoted to that. Second chapter, the power of emotional appeal. Third chapter, the power of conviction. Actually, this is the most popular chapter because we help people to eliminate whatever. People speak like that, right. But we can cure them of that. They're just not always aware. So that chapter is devoted toward helping to eliminate what we call the filler words, the heroine of the English language, because withdrawals are very difficult. So each of those chapters then is different tactics. And when you put all of them together, you look at the world's great communicators, Winston Churchill, Martin Luther King, there's no lack of them. And then I finish the book in chapter 10 with featuring the movie The King's Speech. I identify with the coach who helped the King of England when they were at war in World War II, a stutterer, to become a much better communicator. And it just touched me when I watched that movie, and I had to end with it. So when people read the book, and you can learn more about it and take the assessment on aclimbtothetop.com, mm-hmm. I encourage everyone, whether you read the book, whether you take the assessment before, read the book, then take the assessment after, and then find out you can reconcile what you thought you could do to what you can actually do when it's done. And it's free, and it's available to anyone who can take it. Shoots an email to me. I see the responses, and I respond. I might not get to you in a day or two, but I'll get to you. I will get to everyone. So many have taken it even before the book was out.
Chuck, we had so many great takeaways from tonight's show. And again, in case anyone is just tuning in now, you missed a really incredible, great show. But great news, it will be available on iTunes in a couple of days. Check out WABCBizRadio.com. Usually by Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday morning, Apple has to approve it, and then they put it up. I don't know what there's not to approve, but we'll just leave the technical side to the technicians. And the remaining 60 seconds, any final takeaways for the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Well, I think when people ask me, Itzhak, what I do for a living, I give them a simple answer. I help people to exceed their own expectations. That's what I do. It's pretty simple. And I think for anyone out there who is contemplating, if you are in business or whatever you do for a living, the common thread is the top jobs are generally given to the most compelling communicators. In your ambitions, whatever you do, whether it's engineering, business, I don't care what it is, the one thing that we have in common is we need to communicate more effectively. My book, then, A Climb to the Top, is really here to help you to exceed your own expectations. This isn't about biology or electrical engineering. It's about becoming a persuasive communicator. And if you can focus on that, that is a recipe to help your career.
Chuck, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Yitzhak. Thank you so much for having me.
What an incredible guest. Chuck Garcia, who really gave of his very precious time, just came out with a brand new book, highly recommended, A Climb to the Top, Communication and Leadership Tactics to Take Your Career to New Heights. Thank you again for tuning in for another great edition of Mind Your Business. And tune in again next Sunday evening at 11 p.m. right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.